all kind of information up here. My good buddy that back there, he always hollers at me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't it? Did you see on TV where that little Baptist church out in Texas, where that old guy took that shooter out? Get out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I bet that church never thought that would happen in their church. So all my pastor friends just give me a hard time about having security. That I've tried to talk to the other pastors in this city about having security. And I've had this response from some of them. Well, if you had faith, you don't need security. Yeah, well, same point. Do you have insurance? So that's just a matter of opinion. So thank God for that man.
Amen.
So we have security here. We're going to continue to have it. We work on it continuously. And if something like that ever happens here, somebody comes in, we're usually on them pretty quick. We watch it. But if something was to ever happen where you heard a gunshot or whatever, just fall to the floor. Please do not stand up. Don't look around. Just fall to the floor, and we'll take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
He could have taken that guy out quicker, but the people started standing up and look, see what's going on. Don't do that. Just fall to the floor. You'll be safe. It won't get far in here, I guarantee you. We'll take care of you. We'll take care of the situation real quick. And we're a little smaller in here than they were. But, amen? So just remember that. Don't jump up and try to run. Just hit the floor. Amen? Like an old Green Beret sergeant. I'm not. Well, it's a work spiritually for us. Not in a natural way we were. And I got to Vietnam. This old Green Beret sergeant said, Pittman, yes, sergeant, I'm going to tell you how to stay alive over here and might go home. You want to know that? I said, yes, sir. I said, stay high and keep low. So that's what we do spiritually. We stay high on God, high praises of God, high places of God. He meant something different. But the staying low part's good. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Let's talk about the new year. You know, we're going to adopt a good saying of the Marines that I like what they do. Get off my foot there, Tom.
Don't forget the mattress, too.
Okay, you can have that, too. I can pick it up. Couldn't get my foot up here. I like what the Marines are saying they have. Lucky can tell us what this means. I love this. Semper Fi. What's that mean, Lucky? Always faithful. Always faithful. No matter where you go in the world, if you meet a Marine, you say that. That is their little code word, their word. They drill that into them. And if you ever meet a Marine, they're always a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And that ought to be our motto. Forever faithful. We're always faithful. Forever faithful. Amen? Semper Fi. And with that code of conduct, we are faithful. And if we'll get that inside of us, we'll survive no matter what comes. Just Semper Fi. Amen? Now, every year, prophets or ministers or different ones, they'll try to come up, like I said, Friday night with a catchphrase or something that rhymes with the year at hand, you know, whatever year it is. This year's 2020, and I've heard them say, going to be plenty in 2020. And that's good. Our prophets will say stuff, and I've heard prophecies or this is going to happen. And I said Friday night, God doesn't wear a boulevard, and he doesn't have a calendar. Now, it's good at a New Year's to start making New Year's resolutions or seek God for what's going to happen. But what God's doing, he's always doing. God doesn't do anything new, but he does do something new. Every spring, the trees bud, and we say it's a new year, a new blossoms on the tree, but the tree's not new. It just has a new year of growth, a new year, and you can fully expect what will be on that tree. So I can stand in an apple tree when it starts to bloom and prophesy. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, this year shall be a year. What did I say, apple? Don't get mixed up. Start to say peaches. That would be a miracle. Thus saith the Lord, this shall be a year of apples. And you shall bring forth, and it shall be apples in abundance on your tree. But how do we know? That's a sure word of prophecy. Well, that's the same way of God's word, really. But we can highlight things and say things, but a lot of times we'll say things at the first of the year as if it's going to be a sovereign act of God. But it's not a sovereign act of God. God's already, he is a sovereign God, and he has already established things sovereignly. But they will never happen in your life unless you do things. You have more to do with this year and what comes to pass in your life this year than God does. It doesn't matter what they say or what's going on. There's going to be trouble in the Middle East. The Bible tells me so. There's going to be this happening, that happening. The Bible says so. All we need to know is what God's Word says. And if we know what God's Word says, he is a sovereign God. He has sovereignly declared things would happen. But they won't happen in your life unless you have faith. Unless you do some of the principles of God's Word. And if you'll do that, the things that God has declared will come to pass in your life. I happened to run across an old tape of Jerry Surveille yesterday. And I was listening to some of that. And he was talking about in 2012. And he said the Lord spoke to him and told him the year 2012 would be a year of fulfillment. The 2012 come and gone, and I don't know if anything happened to me in fulfillment or not. I'm sure it did. I was fulfilled. But I was fulfilled in 13. I was fulfilled in 11. Now, I understand God works in seasons and timings and releasing and harvest, but if you sow, you're going to reap. I mean, it will happen. And so I know things have come and gone. A lot of times they'll come and go, and I don't even know they come and went. You understand how we live, how we're supposed to live, is a day at a time. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And if we'll do certain things and obey the word and do certain things, that day will be a day of plenty. That day will be a day of fulfillment. That day will be a day of success. That day. The Bible also says many are the afflictions of the righteous. I can prophesy to you today that there shall be afflictions coming your way. You can say amen or oh me, but it's going to be. But I can also prophesy to you that prosperity is at hand. Reach out and take it with your hand. Amen. I'm rhyme or chime or always be on time. Who knows that? not belittling what the prophets say. Thank God for it. I always search and look and read and find out what they're saying, kind of connect with what's going on. And I liked what Kim Clement prophesied, you know, about Trump. I mean, he rung the bell. He hit it. He even talked about impeachment. He even talked about he'd win again this year. Wow. Then God took him off the scene. Wonder why. I don't think he would have been able to handle the publicity and that, everything that people would have built around him, because he hit that so on time and so exact. People, you see the reason God hid Moses' body, they would have propped it up and worshipped it. They'd have had it stuffed. The Jews would. They'd have drugged that body around and worshipped it all the time. And God knows how man is. The Bible said Jesus would not present himself to man because he knew the heart of men. And God can just do so much because he knows how people are. And he can just reveal so much. But I'm glad to hear from the prophets. I listen to them. Like I listened last night to Doc, and keeps a handle on what's going on and tells us some things so our faith can be activated and come alive, and we can see into the future. I like to know that. Everybody wants to know what the future holds. Praise the Lord. I was in Australia one year when at New Year's, and you know Australia is a day ahead of us, so I was there at the New Year's celebration, and we saw all of it, and man, they really know how to do it in Australia. America doesn't have nothing on Australia. We was there in Sydney at the bridge and all the fireworks, and so I called the church here, and I said, tell everybody, tomorrow looks good. I'm already there, and tomorrow, and it's fine. Not to worry about a thing. It looks good. Because I was already in tomorrow. Where there's concern. Amen? But that's time and that's God. So we hold the key to our life. How do we do that? Let's look in some of the things. And that heat's not on, is it? The heat on? Turn that heat off, dear Lord. Anybody cold? It's 5 degrees hotter up here. And I'll get my throat's a little. You know what you're doing there, buddy? That's Marine there. Somebody help him turn that thermostat. She got it. Oh, who's got it? Look with me in James chapter 3. Leave him alone, Kathy. No. James chapter 3. Now, there's a principle in God's Word, if we'll understand this, and we're going to do something again next week. Remember, we do this occasionally where we'll write down what we're believing for this year, coming year. How many remembers that? Six of you. Huh? Six of us. Well, the rest of you don't remember, act like it's a brand new thing. We're going to write down what we're believing for this year. What we're expecting in our life to come to pass. Well, I'd rather know what God wants to happen in my life. God leaves it up to you. You say, well, this whatever God wants. Well, how do you know what God wants? You wouldn't know if it happened. You wouldn't know it was God or somebody else or who it was. You have to set your own destiny. Jesus has already declared things to be yes and amen. Amen? Jesus already provided healing. He's already provided prosperity. Already provided joy. He made everything available to us at Calvary. Whether or not you ever walk in them is totally up to you. totally up to you. I can stand here and prophesy to you all day about your life, and not one bit of it will come to pass, because it's conditional based upon what you do. It's called faith. You have to use your faith. And we do this for a reason, to get you to use your faith, to get you to do something, to make a move, to declare with your mouth. Your mouth causes things to come to pass. Amen? Now, I guess it's year before last where we made a declaration. I said write down three things or one thing or two things, whatever you're able to believe for. Write those down and start believing God for it. Well, we were believing Penny was wanting to move, her and Josh, and they felt it was timing of the Lord and what they wanted to do, and we was wanting them to move up above us in the house. And so we just declared with that guy that that house would come up for sale. We wrote that down. At that time, if the house was for sale, we didn't know it, if it was for sale. But we just declared that and wrote that down, that that house would come for sale, that her house would sell, and it would be a price range that they could afford. It would be in the price range where that wouldn't strain them to do that. And we declared that, wrote it down, agreed on it, and believed it. Well, needless to say, by the end of that year, we had all of that. Every bit of it came to pass, every single bit of it. The house came for sale. It looked like it wasn't going to work out just exactly right. We went back and forth with a guy. So it worked out. Her house was for sale. Seemed like nobody was going to buy it, whatever. And we didn't know, but Jason and Felicia, they were believing for a house. And I think they might have wrote down, they's believing for a house. Jason said, they wrote down, they's believing for a house, wanting a house. Come to find out that what they wrote down and the house they wanted was Penny and Josh's house. And so they worked out a good deal, and I bought them a $7,800 heat pump. Am I a nice guy? How'd that happen? I don't know. But it was God. And it worked out perfect. You say, well, that worked anyway. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, no. See, if you're going through life believing on things, well, it'll just happen. Yeah, well, I'll just rather trust God, know it'll happen. Put her faith out. Amen? Put her faith out. I also wrote down a couple of other things that happened. It happened exactly. It happened. Praise the Lord. And I've done that more than once. I go all the way back to when we was in the old building. I wrote down about this church. I even wrote down the color of the carpet. I wrote down that we would just move in, that I wouldn't have to build anything, do anything. I said, I don't want to go through all that buying and building. God, you work it out to where I don't have to do anything, move in, preach. We preached over in that old building Sunday morning, preached in here Sunday night. Exactly what we put on the paper. Exactly. But putting it on the paper, it doesn't mean anything. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Happened with our house that way. Happened with our furniture that way. Happened with everything, you know. You have to believe it. You have to believe. All things are possible to him that believe. But sad to say, most Christians, they just go through life and say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. What a dumb song. But some Christians could make that their song. But that's not my song. The future is yours to determine. You. The Bible plainly says that you can plan your harvest. You can plan on how much money you're going to make. You can decide whether or not you're going to be blessed or not blessed. You can decide whether you're going to be abundant or sparing. You decide. God gives it up to you, leaves it up to you. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. He told them what to choose. I set before you this day, poor old church people, you know. They couldn't figure out what to choose, so he told them. I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. You make the choice. Isn't that something? And sad to say, they didn't choose the right one. Now, put on the screen there, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. You don't have to turn it. We'll put this up. This made me think of that. Death and life. Now, God told them to choose life and death. Well, He gives us the same privilege to choose life and death. And here He tells us life and death is in the power of your tongue. Well, that's what He told the children of Israel. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. How do you choose? With your tongue. With your mouth. This is a biblical principle that runs all the way through the Bible. Jesus said this is how the whole kingdom of God works. You choose what you want by your mouth. So this year is yours for the taking. You choose. Your choice. You choose whether or not you're going to church. You choose whether or not you're going to tithe. You choose whether or not you're going to praise the Lord. You choose. Your life's based on your choice. I like a good old gospel song, George, what's his last name? Joan sang, living and dying by the choices we make. Not a gospel song, but it ought to be. That's the only thing George Jones ever come close to being gospel. I heard him sing gospel music one time, and I thought, George, stay out of it. You've sung as many bar songs. Living and dying by the choices we make. That's exactly right. That is a biblical principle. I remember one time Brother Hagin said that he was praying for a fellow that was in his church, was 30 years old, and said he was praying for him, had a family. He said, now God, he said he prayed for days, sitting by his bedside. He said, now Lord, he's too young to die. You promised 70 years, and he's too young. He's 30 years old, and I'm not going to let him die, Lord. I'm not going to let him die, and you have to heal him. He's not old enough to die. And he can stay here on earth. He's not finished and praying like that. And Jesus appeared to him and said, you have to let him die. Said, what do you mean? He said, he set on course his life when he was a young man. He said all the time when he was a young man, I will not live past 30 years of age. And he said, he set a law in motion that cannot be overturned. Jesus said that. If there's one thing that the church is about a lot of things, is ignorant. Ignorant means we just don't know. Satan is a master of getting us to not know. How does he do that? He gets us so busy in living that we make all the choices for dying. And we live far below our privileges. Don't live out a full, blessed life because we don't know how life works. It's our life. Romans chapter 5 said that you may rule in life, that you may be the ruler over your life through one Christ Jesus. You should be the king of your domain. You should be in charge of your life. Well, we are. We just don't know it. Life and death is power. Now notice what Proverbs said. There is power in your mouth to either live or die. Wow. Power in our mouth to live or die. My goodness. Look what James says in chapter 3. I trust you're there by now. You're not, forget it. Verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing in that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, I read that occasionally and think about it. And that means I better say what he said and say it bold without fear of man, because I will receive a far stricter judgment than you will. I will. I'll have to give an account of what I told you, what I taught you, and how I taught you. And if I did it with love. And once I tell you, then I'm innocent. Then you're responsible. Sheikah Moshe. For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, or with his mouth, or what he says, if he does not stumble in what he says, then he is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. If someone does not stumble in what he says, then it means he's grown up and he controls his body. Is that a strong scripture? That means your body is controlled by your tongue, by what you say. Amen? Indeed, being a farm boy, I know this well. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn their body in any direction we want to turn it. And we'll even teach that old horse to G to the right, ha to the left. And you won't even have to use those bits. But you'll have to use those bits as a disciplinary action to teach him to obey what you say. Then after you obey that horse or get him to obey what you say, you won't have to use the bits anymore. In other words, you use the bits as chastisement. The whom the Lord love, he chastens. I plow an old mule many a day and I go out through there, gee little, ha, gee. He never step on a plant. You get to the row, end of the row. Move that plow around, come on around, gee, gee. Go right back down the same road. Just fun. And he said, you put bits in the horse's mouth. Now then, he says, like also a ship, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned around by a little small rudder wherever the pilot desires for them to go. Even so, your tongue. Just like your tongue. It is a little member, and it's capable of boasting great things. See how great a forest a little fire can kindle? There's been a many a church, many a family, many a marriage, many of everything burnt up and destroyed to the ground by the mouth. That old mouth has destroyed many a life. It can either cause you to love someone or hate someone. Words are the strongest thing in the English language. Get that. People have more fun than anybody. You people are slow, I tell you. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, the whole church body. How many churches have been tore up by some long-tongued gossiping old woman? Oh, that ain't what that said. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is a fire by hell. That's it. It's used wrong. For every kind of beast, bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. With it we'll praise the Lord, and with it we'll go to lunch and talk about the past. That's not what. Who have been made in the image of our God? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be that way. Does a spring spring forth fresh water and bitter water at the same time? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees and grape bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Either make the tree good or make the tree bad. You do that by the mouth. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show good conduct by the works that are done. Now it says, no man can tame the tongue, but the only one that can tame the tongue is the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you yield your tongue to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He takes over your tongue. Your tongue is no longer in control of your brain. He controls it with the Spirit of God. And once that is controlled by the Holy Ghost, you take and allow that same Holy Spirit to teach you how to talk. Man. To teach you about your life. Mark 11:23, the great verse Brother Hagin wrote. You know who Brother Hagin was. Or may have brought it. Look, put that up on the screen. Mark 11. It's in my Bible somewhere. I can quote it, but I don't want to misquote none of it. Let's look at this. Mark 11, Jesus teaching his disciples faith. And you remember the story, he got up that morning. He'd been to the temple the day before. He saw what was going on. He got up and he had his face set like flint toward the temple. He was going to clean it out. And he came to a fig tree. And he thought it was in bloom. And he thought it might have figs on it. Walking up to the fig tree, it had no fruit on it. He said, just said, didn't talk to God. Didn't ask the Lord for permission. He just said, no man will eat fruit of you from this day forward. And kept walking. The disciples heard that and they paid attention. They thought that's kind of peculiar, but he did all kind of peculiar things all the time. And the next morning as they came by, the tree had dried up from the roots. The root of it had died. See, a lot of things that we see in our life is caused by a root cause of something. And so they said, look, Lord, the very fig tree you've cursed has died. And he began to teach them about faith. And he said, verse 22, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever speaks to the mountain or whatever's in his life that's in his way or giving him problems, be removed and be cast in the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, now notice your heart, your mouth, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. And I always like to change that ask to say. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you say when you pray, believe what you say will come to pass, you can have what you say. That's exactly what the Bible teaches about life and death in your mouth. Now, just saying stuff won't come to pass. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Now, over in 1 John chapter 5, it says this, and we'll look in verse 14 and 15. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
This changes your life if you get this. But you see, the problem of it is, here's how it is. You have to make up your mind. Mark chapter 4 says the word comes immediately. People grab hold of it with excitement and said they get excited about what you just heard and says immediately Satan comes and steals it. How's he steal it? Cares of this world, deceitfulness, riches, lust of other things. Your mind is probably wavering right now. Your mind is not concentrating on what I'm talking about. You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about eating or you're analyzing this, that, and other, and you're not focusing. Proverbs chapter 4 says, pay attention. Incline thine ear. Look at the board. And he said, if you do that, your heart, out of that heart, these things you're getting out of it will come the issues of your life. Wow, if you could just get this. Your world would change. Amen? 1 John chapter 5. Is that where I'm at? No, I'm in James. What's the matter with me? Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have. If we say, now it says ask, but I'm say, ask and say it. This is confidence that you have if you say anything according to his will, he hears you. Now, this is why people don't get what they say. It's not according to his will. I can say, now, I'm going to say this year that I'm going to have the Biltmore estate. You say, that is stupid. Yes. But some people do about the stupidest stuff. That's not according to his will. I have to know what his will is. And then I say what his will is. It's his will for me to be healed. It's his will for me to prosper. It's his will for me to have a better life. It's a lot of things is his will. I have to know what he's called me to do, and I have to go along with his will in that. And if I say what he wills, it'll come to pass if I believe it. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us when we say, we know that we have what we have said. And we know that if he hears what we say, then we're confident that we can have what we say. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. See, your life, you have more to do in your life than God does. God's already spoken. God's already said it. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, God has given to us through his Son, Christ Jesus. That's 1 Peter. Everything concerning life. You have to know what his will is. If you don't know what his will is, see, my job is to try to help you find out for your life what his will is by teaching you the Bible. See, this is the most important thing in your life is church. Most important person in your life is the man who teaches you the Word. And most people do not believe that. They'd rather, you know, go somewhere instead of church, do this instead of hearing the Word. We show God what's important to us. We show Him. Then by showing Him, see, you got to show God your faith. When He's pleased with your faith, you can have it. But you have to show God your faith. You have to show Him that He's number one. You have to show Him. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The Word What does it say? The Word. Now, this is near used, been added by the translator, so I marked that out. And I read it like this. What does it say? The Word in your mouth and in your heart, that is the Word of faith which we preach. Now, what does it say? The Word in your heart and in your mouth. That if you say, confess, but I will say, same thing. That if you say with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, the greatest miracle that ever took place in your life, you'll be in heaven for 10 million years from today because you applied this principle. But that's the only time most Christians ever apply that principle. They never apply it to anything else. And the whole kingdom of God and everything you have works on this principle. What is it? The word of faith, which is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That if you believe it and you say it, you'll have it. We just established that with some other scripture. Are you out there? You're going to sleep yet. For with the heart you believe. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, what you're believing for, or it could be healing or anything. For with your heart you believe, and with your mouth you say, and it is made unto you. Now you say in salvation, it says here, because you're believing to be saved. For with the heart you believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart you believe, and with the mouth you turn your situation around. You turn your body around. You turn your finances around. You turn your destiny around. I'm looking at some people in here that just got saved not too long ago. Their life turned totally around. They went from being on the road to hell. They were headed toward hell, bound by everything the devil could throw at them. I was. Bound by everything the world can offer. I was bound, couldn't get free, was on my way to hell. But one day, I applied a biblical principle. I believed what some preacher told me when I was a kid. If you live in the South, you believe a Baptist doctrine. Thank God for the Baptist. If it wasn't for the Baptist, there wouldn't be any people in the South. Thank God for the Baptist. You can't grow up where I grew up without knowing Jesus Christ will save you. And you couldn't grow up where I grew up without knowing there was a hell. People today don't realize there's a hell. The reason they're doing things, the reason they're killing themselves, and the reason they don't know there's a hell. The reason I didn't take some chances, the reason I didn't do some things, I was afraid I'd die. I was afraid I'd die because I knew I'd go to hell. That's the only thing kept me from doing some things. I don't want to go to hell. But we've lost that. They don't preach that now, and people don't believe there's a hell, and so they're just dying, killing themselves, doing all kind of things, and they wind up in hell. But I was on my road to hell, and I was almost there. But I just believed what I heard as a kid in Sunday school. Thank God for Sunday school. We have Sunday school every morning at 10 o'clock. A lot of people going now. Thank God. I'm glad you started going, some of you. Arnold been faithful. Terry was faithful. Now we're starting to reap a little. Go to Sunday school. And I said, I don't want to go to hell. I believe in my heart there is a hell. I believe in my heart Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that with everything in me. You could cut my arms and legs off and still not make me not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. It wasn't benefiting me any. I'm still going to hell, but I believe that. Wasn't benefiting me any. That's the way a lot of church people. We preach a lot of things don't benefit them a bit. Why? They don't take advantage of it. And I said, I believe that. And I did the next step. I said with my mouth, wow. And as soon as I said with my mouth what I believed in my heart, a miracle of all miracles took place. And God supernaturally took me off that road to hell. And Colossians says, 1:13, that he transferred me over into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. Just a few minutes making the right decision and applying the principle. I believed it and I said it. Now, it was a while before I saw any of the benefits of what I had in my heart. It's quite a while. But I had to walk according to what I believed and what I'd said. I had to start walking that way. So I said, Lord, all right, I'm a Christian now. I believed it and I said it. What do you want me to do? He said, go to church. Yes, sir. I went to church. I said, what do you want me to do now? Stay in church. Yes, sir. I said, Lord, I want to go somewhere else and do something else. What do you want me to do? He said, sit still and shut up. Yes, sir. Lord, can I go something? Can I do something else? No. Go to church. Lord God, help me, Jesus. 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, 13 years. Lord, I'm in the ministry. I'm calling. I'm believing you for all these things. What? Stay still. Time it. But I stayed faithful. Simplify. I was forever faithful. I believed what? And I just stayed with it. See, there's other principles. And what I say, thank God the Lord said that I'd prosper. And here's what I have to do. I have to give my money. I have to sow my seed. And I have to use my mouth. Satan will try to hit my finances. Then I start using my mouth. I declare with the words of my mouth that this is going to be the best year I've ever had. I declare with the words of my mouth that I'm going to prosper this year. I declare the words of my mouth that men give unto my bosom. I declare that men are drawn to me to do business with me. People are drawn to me. I declare that's where the warfare comes in. You have to use your mouth based upon what you believe. You've turned that ship. You move that horse. You move that body. Shut up. You will not be discouraged. I will not permit you to be discouraged. You have to rule your body. Amen. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. Are you enjoying this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 4:13. Since you and I have the same spirit of faith. Did you know faith is a spirit? Yes. Did you know fear is a spirit? Yes. Did you know unbelief is a spirit? No. Did you know hatred is a spirit? Did you know anger is a spirit? Yes. Do you know you can sense it when you get around? You can walk up to somebody and you don't have to ask them if they're angry. Exactly right. Brother, you can feel it. Yeah. Strife is a spirit. You walk in a house where two people are, you don't have to ask them, have you been arguing? No, you start trying to find an excuse to get out of there. It doesn't feel good in here. It's real tense. It's a spirit. You can feel it. Faith is a spirit. You know when it is. Four men came to Jesus. That you remember that man couldn't walk? And they tore the roof off. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he could see. There was a sick man, Paul, perceiving. He had faith to be healed. He could sense his faith. Faith is a spirit. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to the Word, we have the same. We have faith because of the Word. I believe, therefore I say. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Believing within itself will not get the job done. Believing within itself will not get you healed. Believing within itself will not prosper you. You have to go to the next step. Believing within itself will not save you. I believe in Jesus. The Bible says demons believe in Jesus. But when you say it, all Paul said, Jesus knocked him off his horse and he said, Lord. And that saved him. Because he confessed that with his lordship of Jesus Christ and he got saved. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture and we'll quit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without this faith, what faith? Believe it in your heart and saying it with your mouth about this faith that works in our life. You have faith, according to Romans chapter 12. Jesus gave you faith. You have faith. You believe in something. You get up and say, well, I'll tell you, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'll tell you, I feel like my business going under. I just feel like, you know, I just don't think this is worth it. I just don't think, you know. You're saying all the time, confessing stuff, and you say it, you start believing it. Amen. Without faith, it is absolute impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then it goes to list people who believed. Noah believed, built an ark. Moses believed and led people out of Egypt. David believed and killed a giant. Paul believed. He got listed all the people who believed. Abraham believed and offered up his son. I believe. Don't you?
Yes.
Find out what the will of God is. Well, very simple. God wants you to prosper. You give. Now, next week, I want you to be thinking about it. Find you some script. What do you want to come to pass this year? What do you want to see in your life? Do you want to see a loved one saved? Do you want to see somebody healed? You need to know more. You need to be healed. It's possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Well, what is believing? Believing is believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. That's what it is. Then we write it down and we begin to believe it and say it all year. Get it out every once in a while and say, see this? This is what's going to happen to me. I believe this. Now, it has to be according to the Word. Well, it's not in the Bible what kind of house you'll have. Where your house will be, how big your house will be. God leaves that up to you. But he does declare that he'll provide you a quality lifestyle. He does promise you that. He does promise you prosperity based upon how you can believe him, how you sow. Amen?
Amen.
Well, stand up with me. And we're going to believe God. Always keep your faith alive. Always have something to believe for. Praise the Lord. Because if you don't, you'll get dry and sluggish and down. You lose hope. Thank God for faith. Keeps us alive. Believe in God. Hallelujah. You got to walk to the floor, and every time you think about your son going to hell, your daughter going to hell, your brother going to hell, your daddy going to hell, you say with your mouth, the Bible promised me that I would be saved and my whole household. I believe with my mouth that they'll be saved. Amen? Now, we're going to have communion this morning, and we're going to pass out the elements. And the reason we're doing this, we're just starting the year off with a fresh dedication of our commitment and our resolve to follow the Lord and not waver a commitment. You know, we have to do this. I like what we had We had communion last night with Doc, and he always has communion. And what that does, like he said, that reminds us how little we are and how big God is. It reminds us of his promises. He says, as often as you do this, that we do it in the remembrance of what he did. You see, this bread, these crackers, means that he healed us. This blood reminds us that he forgave us. And we need to be reminded of that. You need to remind your body with an act of, this is an act of faith, what we do. It's something how we release our faith. And as we release our faith, we believe this in our heart and we say it with our mouth. And as we do, it puts that in motion. Our faith starts working. Amen? To where we, that healing power of God goes in operation in our body. Amen? Now, what you can do every day after this is to remind your body and remind the devil that, hey, listen, I took communion Sunday morning. And body, I remind you that Jesus Christ healed me. And I took that communion as a reminder to my body that I am healed. Now, you understand that, body? You better line up. You better line up with the Word of God. And this is a confidence that we have. If we say anything according to His will, we have the confidence that we have it. Glory to God. And so you can be confident today when you leave here that you're healed. Not by feelings, not by how you look. You know, I got born again, I look just like I did before I got born again. Amen. If there was some scripture I could use to make me look better, I'd find that. It'd make me handsome. But I couldn't find any. So I still have to look the same way. But if I could find a scripture that says, thou shalt be very handsome, I'd say, dear God, I'm going around confessing that. Amen. But our old body is what we're stuck with. But you can make that thing line up with the Word. Amen. Has everybody got one? We got it? Good? Almost. Blessed be the Lord Jesus forever. It's what you believe and how you act on what you believe determines what you'll receive this year. Now, we can prophesy some things and say some things, but we look out on this year and we have to set our faith strong and we have to declare, Jesus died to cause my body to be well and to cause me to live a life of strength. My youth will be renewed as the eagles. I will run this race that he has set before me. I will not waver. I will not get off track. I will not get weary. I will not get weak. I'll keep running. And I'll run, and I'll do more this year than I did last year. And I'll run harder this year than I did last year because I'm stronger. And I make a fresh commitment to the Lord this day that he has my life, he has my body, he has the rest of my life to do what he wants to do with it. My life is his life, not my own. My family is his family. As Joshua said, you can do what you want to, but as for me and my house, he's number one. Father, we thank you today. Jesus died on the cross and he was beaten. He was wounded For our transgression he was bruised, for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You healed us before you saved us. You made it available. And as we take this bread, we are reminded of that. And Lord Jesus, we make a fresh commitment with our body that we'll give it to you to use it. We'll give you our life to use it. We'll give you our family to use it. We'll give you our finances to use it. Our life belongs to you. The time is short, Lord, and what we do, we must do quickly. And we don't give any place to the devil, and we don't allow him to overtake us, because the strength of God is our portion. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we're reminded of the blood of Jesus Christ that's forgiven us. There is no condemnation to him that's in Christ. We are not condemned. We are not unworthy. We are worthy of the blood of Jesus because he made us worthy. And Father, we thank you, and we're reminded that we are forgiven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. This will be our best year. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. You are a blessed bunch. Amen. All right. You are forgiven.